everyone, and welcome back to the rest of the episode that you are currently listening to of Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen. It's a beautiful day for a crossover podcast. Let us explain.
If you have accidentally started here, pause and go back one episode and listen to that, because we split it up into two because we had so much shit to say.
And technical difficulties over the course of 3 hours.
So many technical difficulties. We've only have 1 hour of recording, and we have been recording for 3 hours. Well, trying to record.
Almost 2.5.
I just want a pub sub. And
bless.
I definitely can't have one right now because it is the middle of the night. Maybe tomorrow.
That sounds like a great idea.
A little treat.
I'm definitely going to need one when we're in Florida in a couple months.
Yeah, little treat.
Buffalo chicken wing pub sub.
We're actually going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! Crossover. Ooh.
There is.
So, genuinely.
One person.
One person. Okay. I want no context. I'm just going to guess. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I said person.
Okay. But if you have not started the previous episode, go listen to it. It's fun. There's some shout outs. And now for the episode. It's Hunt's ex-fiance.
Oh, you're so close.
Is it the dad?
Yeah, it's the dad.
Fuck!
I really thought you were going to get it.
Damn it. Those are my two guesses. If you would have said if you would have said guy, I would have gotten it right.
I think you would have. Okay, so Sam Anderson plays Michael Whitman.
Mr. Anderson.
He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder, one episode of Station 19, and one episode of Scandal. And a lot of episodes of Lost.
He does not look familiar. I would have met him in Scandal. I'm in the last season of Scandal.
I think
finally.
It's Scandal. I think he was in the episode with all the ex-spies. I'm pretty sure he was one of the ex-spies.
Oh, that would have been cool. That was that's cool. I got it.
Yeah. That was one of one of my favorite Scandal episodes. That's one of my favorite episodes.
We have watched that so fast. I need to go rewatch it. Because unlike How to Get Away with Murder, it's like intense the whole time, and you're just like, what the fuck is actually happening?
Yeah, because Scandal, there's secret cabals like running the entire nation and world.
Yeah.
So,
and then at a certain point you're like, this is too real. This is like, I can't.
Truly now, sometimes when I'm like watching the news, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. This is just what they want us to believe, because somewhere Olivia Pope's dad is just fucking people over left and right.
Right.
It does not matter. He will murder entire buses of people for fun. It doesn't matter.
Literally nothing matters. She's really, at this current point of Scandal, she's really pissing me off.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all right. On to the rest of the girth of this episode here. Where do you want to start now?
Let's talk about Hunt and Christina and Beth and Michael.
Sam Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Michael Whitman, Beth Whitman. Miller Lite.
Sponsor us.
Please. So
what did I predict? Did I predict it was a ex-wife?
You said ex-wife or the wife of someone that he had saved or failed to save, soldier wise. I'm gonna give you an 84%
for the X part.
Well, yeah, because you made too many predictions. If you had said just ex-wife, I probably would have given you like a 92. But you did too many options.
I'll still take the B. Okay.
Yeah, it's a B, solid B. So they were engaged. He broke up with her in an email.
I need to know what two lines he said in an email.
I would love to tell you, but I don't know.
We never find out.
Honestly, we might, and I just don't remember. But we also might not, because I feel like I would remember. I'm really not positive, though.
Because in my head, especially because, so when Marlo was starting to say like "hi, dog," I was going around telling Jess, I was like, Jessica, Marlo's speaking full sentences. She's communicating in full sentences. Hi, dog is a full sentence. So it could have been like, what's the girl's name?
Beth.
Hello, Beth. Comma. I hope this finds you well. Period. we are done. Period. That could
Hello,
be it.
Beth. I don't think we should get married. Owen.
Is hello, Beth? Would that be a sentence?
Well,
hello,
according
Beth.
To you, yes.
Hi, dog is a sentence.
How is hello, Beth,
I get
any
it.
Different
I get
than
what you're
hi,
saying.
Dog.
I get what you're saying. They're both nouns, and they both, it's just a greeting and a
it's
noun.
The greeting and the noun. Like, it's the exact same thing that you just said.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Kelsey, calm down. Calm down.
I'm gonna need another beer at this rate. I can't. I'm so unwell. It's been too much today. My brain stopped working several hours ago.
Gosh, there was only one shot of tequila worth of alcohol in that drink. It is not enough.
I'll tell
Should
you
we
what.
Just pause and leave the computers running and like not stop recording? We're just gonna go get drinks. The listeners just gonna listen to the white noise.
No, I don't think we should do that.
Obviously not, Kelsey.
Okay, so Beth is there with her dad, and Christina is in there with Weber, and then Beth leaves, and that's when Owen comes in, and that's when everything is revealed in front of Christina very rapidly that
they really didn't ease into it either.
He comes in and the dad's like, what the fuck? And Owen's like, yeah, I work here now. Don't you think you should tell her? And then the dad just goes, well, you lost your right to tell her anything. When you broke off your engagement in a 2-line email, which they really hit 2-line email like 68 times in this episode. They're really harping on that.
That's why I thought, maybe there's an like the next episode I was hoping that she would print it off and like
plaster
bring
it all over the hospital.
Yeah. This is your doctor, Hunt. Or like crumble it up and throw it at him and say, this is what you did to me.
Yeah. So yeah, she leaves. They talk. Christina's like, whoa, what the fuck? Kind of a parallel to Meredith finding out that Derek is married. Not obviously not as aggressive, but like similar ish. Again,
yeah, I could see that.
Like very, very diet version of that, because obviously Derek and Meredith were together and he was all the way married. And Owen
too,
and Christina are just starting to be together and he was engaged.
The thing that I'll say about the both of these situations too is regardless of the way that everyone feels about these characters and like the situation's uniqueness, I can see both of Derek and Hunt's side of this.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Derek being cheated on, moving away and starting a relationship as if nothing had like he's single now. I can understand. I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand where he's coming from. And the way that Hunt justifies it later is he's like the person that these people knew doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So like,
I feel like I see Owen's side way more, even if you
yes.
take out like the trauma that he's gone through. I feel like if you're in that early of a stages of a relationship with someone, you don't need to say, oh, I was engaged before yet. Like that is something you need to disclose to your partner as the relationship progresses. But as far as I'm concerned with where they are, they've had one not date because he showed up trashed. They've had several kisses,
yeah,
one
that's
not
a good
date,
point.
And that's it.
That's a good point.
So even if you remove the fact that like he has gone through this horrific, like life altering situation, even if they were just like dating and they were both like in a similar place mentally, I feel like he would be also fine not to have told her this. But that being said, because of how she finds out, it does feel like a blindsided, you were keeping this from me only because he isn't the one who told her.
Yeah, ultimately, a lot of times that becomes the differentiator for me is mm-hmm. do you tell the person or do they find out? Those are two very different things.
Ultimately, yet again, Derek is the worst of the two people in this
yes.
scenario.
In this scenario.
But yeah, it's also like it makes us wonder, right, as audience, the kind of person that Owen was before, that that is the type of person he was engaged to, because she's just so like peppy and bubbly and like
sheltered.
You know, obviously it kind of is like, yes, he has, Christina has alluded to like your savior complex, like in the past, where like obviously that has come into play. He clearly wants to like take care of or whatever. But yeah, I'm like, damn, you are like, if that's who you were like, because in no world could I picture the Hunt that we know now with that type of person. That'd be yeah, like, what him did he say? With, like,
they couldn't even, him and the dad couldn't even take vacation at the same time.
Right.
At the risk of if there was a spider. Right.
Yeah.
Although, listen, I respect that. If a cockroach shows up, Jess, go get it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just wild. And then he keeps trying to talk to Christina about it, and she doesn't want to talk about it, which I also understand, because I get in those situations. It's kind of like, I do feel as though she does want to talk about it, but she wants to process it on her own first and also not talk about it at work when she is still has to care for this man as a patient.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah. It's so unique. It's, also, you know, the writers may have dropped the ball on how they represent Dixon and like autism, the autism mm-hmm. spectrum. I almost said autism and Asperger's, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm adjusting my
vernacular.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. So who was that? Which friend of ours had shouted that out? That was an email, right?
It was, I think, an email and also an Instagram that I got, and I don't remember.
So the way that the writers have portrayed the autism spectrum in general, I think they've dropped the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're representing PTSD within Hunt, I don't know if it's just his acting or if it's their writing, but it feels.
Yeah.
I have a limited knowledge base.
Right.
Of people in my life that have this PTSD. I mm-hmm. do have friends who have served in the military, active duty, and I have gotten glimpses. Okay, so I'm not going to portray myself as an expert.
Right.
But what I'm seeing feels like there's a lot of really good writing and acting that goes into right. this side of what they're doing right now for this storyline.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the representation on this feels much more authentic.
Yeah.
Than what they were doing with Dixon. And that's truly like just a disservice to the autism community. And it goes back to when I had mentioned before, the writers saying that they had regretted the way that storyline had played out. And I don't think that that's how it would have gone down in the current situation of Grays as we know it now in 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. But we get that scene later on where, I mean, just in general, it's a little bit crazy going back and forth around the episode. And Christina calls him out and she's like, does your mom even know? Like, dude, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude, that's fucked up.
It's messed up. He pulls her into the on-call room later and he's like, look, I call my mom once a week, but she just doesn't know that I'm 6 miles away.
Yeah.
Which, 6 miles?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Not far. It's crazy. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. He says, I can't tell her that the son she sent off to war is not the person I am anymore. It's the same thing.
It's sad.
It's truly heartbreaking. So
do you want to touch on that last scene with them? Like the last dialogue with them specifically?
I do, but I don't remember it.
He says that I don't feel like a ghost when you look at me.
Please see me.
Please see me.
You're the only one that I feel like sees me.
Yeah.
That's the only time I feel real is when you look at me. God, there. And like the way she can act with like just her face, like she does not respond. But you like know where she's at, just the way she like looks at him.
There was like a half like smirk smile in there. Like, you know that a little bit of emotion just kind of seeps out right mm-hmm. there. She's trying to hold it all in. Great actress.
There seems to be like we're close to tears also.
Yeah.
She's trying to just hold it together because, again, she's at work. This is not where she wants to be dealing with it, but Whew.
Here we are.
Also, should we talk about the patient they're treating? Beth's dad secretly has cancer that he just like isn't telling her about, which is
What does he have? He goes to get treated for a hernia and he has colorectal cancer.
Yeah. And so as soon as she leaves, he's like, so I actually have cancer. I've had it for 3 years. These are the procedures that I've had. This is what's currently going on. That's probably why I'm in immense abdominal pain.
Any questions?
Like, okay. So the whole episode, he's like, I don't want her to know. So the whole episode is, you know, they're honoring that. They don't tell her. They don't have the right to tell her. HIPAA. That's actually that might not be HIPAA. That's a different, it's a different rule. But it is like, might you didn't sign the form of like
lion or giraffe,
who can be told. Excuse me. And so
doctor patient confidentiality. Yeah. Rule.
And so it's just wild. Finally, Owen is like, she deserves better than that. And then when she says, I deserve better than that, that's when he's like, you know what? Okay. And he tells her.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that the scene where what's her name? The girl's Beth. Name? Beth. When Beth sees Hunt and you get
that's
this
a roller
like,
coaster of like a 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh. She goes from like kind of being excited to hugging him to
I'm mad. I'm hugging you. So glad you're back. And then he just like peels her off of him. It's so uncomfortable.
So obviously she thought he was still in Iraq, right?
Yes.
But then I think it's either a separate scene, maybe it's later on in that scene, I really don't know, but she says that she's been praying for him every night to make it home.
Yeah, it's that same scene.
Like,
before she
Whoa!
She's like, I'm just praying that you make it out alive.
There are people out there who care about you.
Yeah. And she says, I just saw your mom. And that's kind of when Christina's like, wait, his mom doesn't know he's here?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's yucky.
Anything else on that storyline? I'm excited. So my prediction, I think the dad is going to die in this crossover event.
Also, I know we don't talk about this much, but what the fuck was Beth wearing? She comes in and she's got like a long sleeves and then she's got like a mustard sweater with like huge fucking green buttons underneath a purple coat.
It's like she got her clothes from Ronald McDonald.
It's very of the 2000s, but I'm just like, it's, I remember when that was on being like, what is she wearing?
Do you ever just look back at the 2000s clothing style and go like, ugh, man, what were we thinking?
Constantly.
I was never in with those styles. I was very at the tail end of everything. Because I was poor.
Mood.
But the hair also gets me. The spray tans and the hair and the bedazzling of everything. I don't understand it.
It wasn't even like spray tans. It was like self tanner, which they figured out more in the current times. You can kind of see it, what she's wearing here. You can't like fully, but you can kind of.
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, it didn't stand out to me, but I'm upset about it now after the fact. But in the moment, it wasn't egregiously like it wasn't egregious to me.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
So
all right.
Yeah, I think that's like the major points for the Beth situation, honestly. I don't know, you think he's gonna die. So yeah, I don't know if there's anything else really to say about it. Other than
he tells her at the end.
He does tell her. Oh, she does say you don't even look like yourself, which is you look hard, that's what she says, which is sad.
Your dick is just erect. Oh, okay. You should have been quicker. You should. Honestly, I blame
you. Carmen.
So did his penis.
All right, we're done with this conversation. okie dokie. Yeah. So this just leads. Go ahead.
Oh, go. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, during this whole time, Meredith and Christina are simultaneously having conversations about how they don't really know Derek and Owen, because this kind of mirrors Meredith seeing Derek with all of these people from his past and them talking about all of these things that she doesn't know about. So if we want to get into the Archer of it all, because that's really all we have left, right?
Yeah. And so we also, when I think about the Christina and Meredith, it goes to their competitive nature too. They're trying to one up each other.
Yeah, because, that's kind of how they always are.
Yeah. You know, Meredith is like, did you know Derek sings and he's got friends and plays guitar? And Christina's like, yeah, well, Hunt has an ex-fiance, so shut up. Like,
yeah.
It's just interesting. They have such a very interesting dynamic friendship, but I find those scenes to be funny.
Yeah.
The Derek, we'll get to that in a second, but the Derek music thing is very, very interesting to me. Intriguing.
Yeah.
I feel like we also have to talk about the storyline of, the aneurysm girl.
Yeah, we definitely do. She is like losing her ever loving mind.
You want to talk about that first, then we'll end with it. We'll bring it home with all of the Archer storyline.
Yeah, so she's basically just waiting because she can't have her surgery because of the Archer emergency. So she's losing her mind because she can't eat, which, as a pregnant person, like, rude. The disrespect.
Yeah, that's
and
no
she's
fun.
Like panicking because they're like, oh yeah, you have an aneurysm. It could just burst at any time. You might just die, but like, you might not. There's no way to know. So they're going back and forth with that. Alex is kind of the one monitoring that. Every time she freaks out, he does a really bad job. He's like, shut up. Sadie almost gives her a heart attack because she doesn't know how to do a fetal ultrasound.
That's Alex, the kid's ass.
I'm just like, damn, dude. He tells her to shut up and then shows her like one of the more intense ultrasounds to like calm her down, which I will say, that's like very reassuring when you're pregnant to like see the baby and like be like, okay, everything is fine. So yeah, she's just like, please, please, please. And then Derek comes in at the end of the episode and he's like, I'll do it first thing in the morning. And she's like, for the love of God, Derek, can you just do it now?
She says it much nicer.
Yes.
But that's basically what she's like. Look, I have been waiting all damn night and I'm going to call you Derek because we're friends now. Is that okay, Derek? Derek, is that okay?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's a little annoying. I get it. Also, here's what I will say about that scene, because I have notes to prove it. When she, so we're in the surgery at the end, which he decides he's going to finally do it. Lexi has the doomsday sucker.
Mm-hmm. And they're low-key mocking her.
And then all of a sudden, I assume the aneurysm ruptures.
Yeah.
They find it and they get it to pop. They get rid of it. Blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that was going to be one of the cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So I thought, I was like, oh, aneurysm girl's a cliffhanger. Wait. Nope. No, she's not. She did fine. She survived. She's great. Then she's still a fucking cliffhanger. Yeah. But I don't understand what's, so she can't, she's choking and they
she
have to call Shepard.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I truly don't know what the connection is between brain surgery and I have the ability to breathe, but I'm gasping for air.
Yeah.
Now previously you said that you thought her husband would die during the event. Is that still where your head's at?
If I predicted it, then it must be true. And okay. It will come to pass. Yes, he's going to die. It's written in the stars.
And she's going to be fine.
She also dies. Yeah, the whole family dies.
Even the baby?
Ooh, baby lives.
Orphan child.
They're going to name him Anakin. No, I don't know. See, honestly, here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and, because I didn't say it yet in this episode, I'm going to spoiler alert Private Practice here for a second.
Okay.
So many people fucking die in this show.
Yeah.
I feel like more people have died in Private Practice than have died in
So Grey's Anatomy. In a season and a half of Private Practice, you think more people have died than five episodes of Grey's? That might be true. I don't know the stats on it. I could believe it, though.
Per episode. Per capita.
Per capita.
Where's Bernie Sanders when you need him? Per capita, Private Practice kills more people than Grey's Anatomy.
Hold on. I have to read you this message that we got about Casey. Yes. Casey, who I've talked about before, who I've talked with at length on Instagram, who lives in Seattle. So shout out.
Oh, yeah. She's Casey, shout out.
Boots on the ground for us in Seattle. She sent me, unprompted, she sent me, Private Practice is Shonda's Law and Order SVU, and I will not be convinced otherwise. And I was like, honestly, I'm here for this take. Like, I'm not mad about this. I see where you're coming from.
It's intense. Like, there are people who you're like, oh, they're going to be fine. And they're just dead. Mm-hmm. They're dead by the end of the episode. So I think I'm a little bit jaded, especially coming off of this 2-week hiatus. So she dies, he dies, and the baby dies.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Not like a good advertisement for the private practice sector.
It's a good show, though. I like it.
It is a good show.
I just need, what I need to do is I need to get through Scandal so that the private practice burden doesn't overwhelm me like it did last time.
Yeah.
That's really the problem. I'm watching three shows at the same time, and I have to stay up till 2 o'clock this morning to watch fucking Ahsoka now. Okay. So I don't have
you
a choice.
You haven't watched that yet? That's crazy.
Because I was watching Private Practice. What the, don't you get out of here.
Yeah, but you've been poor with your priorities. So I kind of thought you would have just done it anyways.
No, I've gone to bed no earlier than 2 o'clock for the last 2 weeks. And on those days that I work at 5:30 in the morning, I'm still going to bed at 2 o'clock.
Well done.
Not work. Wake up at 5:30. I had a job that I worked at 5:30. I would actually quit that job right
now. Just have no job. Okay. No. So, okay. Yeah. Anything else on Jen? And is it Rob? I think it's Rob.
No, I'm just curious. I'm curious what happens with the next episode. Specifically because I don't know why Alex was like, Paige Shepherd. He's just trying to celebrate and get a drink.
Yeah.
Also, what's the rule on if he takes a sip of alcohol and then gets called right back in? What's the rule on?
If no he's surgery? On call, he might not be drinking.
If he's on call. That makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, also I do want to say when the husband is like eating Jell-O and he's like, I'm sorry, Dr. Torres says I have to eat. And she's like, that's okay. How is it? And he's like, it's amazing. And she just starts sobbing. I felt that in my soul.
Yeah. I forgot that she couldn't.
Yeah. That sucks.
I think I'm going to get all you can eat sushi tomorrow by myself.
Do it. There's next time you come, you have to come at a, during the week because there's a sushi restaurant really close to us and Mondays and Tuesdays they do 50% off all sushi.
But is it all you can eat?
I don't know. I haven't been yet.
I need it to be all you can eat and 50% off. That's a good fucking value.
Also, Shaq has like a chicken restaurant chain apparently. Are you aware of this?
What doesn't this man have? I did not know this.
They're building two here in Chattanooga.
I need to go.
Yeah, come on down. They're not here yet. Anyways, okay.
Maybe moving. Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Maybe. Did I tell
we're
you?
We're crossing our fingers. It's just not anytime soon.
Did I tell you about the fortune cookie that I got the other day?
Yes, when we were FaceTiming last night. We're talking about the trip.
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't remember.
Okay. Archer, right? That's all that's left.
That is it. And we have a lot to talk about with Archer.
Yeah, it is like the main source of protein in this episode. Okay. So
wait, before we do that, small sidebar for Bailey. When Sam shows up and talks to Bailey while they're in one of the procedures and he goes, a peds internship, you don't seem like a peds person. And he's like, you don't smile. Savage. And she gets his fucking inhaler refilled. That's funny. Sorry, I just didn't want to, I didn't want to have to loop
that's
around
part
back
of
on that.
The Archer, but that's
it's
fine.
It's part of it. I'm sorry. I consider that that was in my Bailey notes section, not the Archer notes section.
I see.
I have a glossary.
An index.
Thank you. Index. That's what I was
both
trying to
it's
think
the
of.
Same. Glossaries just, they're the same thing.
So it's a synonym.
I guess it's not. I guess a glossary is more like a little baby dictionary. It doesn't matter. Anyways, okay. Ambulance rolls up. Addison's crying. Naomi's there. They get out. Derek and Richard are waiting. Everyone's hugging. They're like, oh, it's been so long. Welcome back. Welcome back. Blah, blah, blah. The immediately set up that Derek and Archer hate each other.
Love it. Very much here for it. And I'm not shocked.
Yeah, not at all. Who would like Archer? He's like easily the least likable character on either one of these shows. And that's saying something.
They both in the same room probably bring out the worst possible characteristics of each other.
Absolutely. So Derek immediately wants to bring Archer out of the coma because of like a heart situation. I don't really know the details, but he wants to do that. So they do that immediately. And he's like, well, he's awake.
He was like, he wasn't, the drip to stop the seizures was negatively affecting something.
It was going to send him into like cardiac arrest. That's all I know. And they give him Narcan. Like
yeah.
They pull him out and then Derek's like, well, he's awake, but he's definitely not all the way awake because he hasn't threatened to kill me. And then he's like, he hates me. And she says, people pick side in a divorce. And he goes, well, he picked sides in the marriage, which I love.
Cold blooded.
Yeah, it's so funny. So then Derek is like looking at the chart and he's like, oh, he first seized her in sex with his girlfriend. Like, why isn't she here? And Naomi's like, She is. Here I am. Lol. And then Addison's like, bye. So then Naomi and Derek have a moment of conversation where she's like, you know, yeah, I'm kind of sleeping with Archer. It's new, whatever. And then they just have a weird moment of like how, you know, we were all four best friends and now we're all four divorced and like, you're dating this other doctor and Addison is in LA and me and Sam are divorced and I'm dating Archer. And it's just like, how did we get here? And it's, I cannot imagine.
It's like envision a world where
years from now, all
four of us are divorced and I'm just sitting there talking to you in person. And in this hypothetical, the podcast must be over because it's weird between us and we don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
So,
and you also don't talk to Michael, but I still obviously talk to Jessica.
Right. Yeah, totally. Oh, goodness. Also, the podcast will never end because we will never finish Grace.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Never ending story.
I hope you all like content because it's just going to keep coming.
When does Derek punch the shit out of Archer to wake him up? Did that happen already in this timeline of events?
Is that right? Now, like when they give him the Narcan?
I don't remember. All I have, like, I don't have all the notes. I don't have all the step-by-step stuff, but I have all caps. He just punches the shit out of him in the chest and he wakes up.
Well, they do that like before they start the paddles. Typically they're like, they do one hard hit to see if they can do it without electrocuting them. And that's what wakes them up. I think it's to basically reset the heart to like get it to beat correctly. Based on this show, not based on actual medicine.
Right.
I'm not a doctor.
For legal reasons, we are not doctors or financial advisors, just in case we get on tangents.
Yeah. Okay. So then. What else with Archer? They're trying to convince Archer to let Derek operate. And they like obviously have ordered new scans and stuff. And then Derek comes in and he's like, yeah, I can't operate. Also, though, they're talking about the song that Derek wrote for the wedding and Meredith is in the room and it's hella awkward. And I'm like, I don't know if Naomi doesn't know yet that that's Meredith or she just doesn't care. I don't understand because Audison's like, please, can we talk about anything else?
Well, then
Mark comes in and he's like, oh, sorry. And Meredith's like, no, it sounds like a great song.
There's the funny scene about that is when he says something about Addison's fine ass and Mark's like, I wrote that line. And I'm like, how fortuitous was this that you wrote the line about Addison's fine ass, which it is. It's a fine ass.
Yeah. And he saw it.
A lot when they
all boned. The way.
You so, think yeah. In their world, you think in Gray's world, Gray's lore, they did anal?
No.
You don't think so? You don't think Addison's an anal kind of girl?
I know that you've seen the episode of Private Practice where she talks about Cowboy Pete. It's
very oh, early. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
no, Cowboy I Pete, don't glad, think she
Gladiator
does anal.
Pete.
They, she does not. Based on that, my assumption is absolutely not. Also, yeah. Based on Addison as a person, my assumption is no.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Mark and Lexi doing anal is canon.
No. Can we not speculate on this anymore?
It's what the people want.
It's so late, Carmen. This is not what we need to do with our time. Okay, so the song. Oh yeah, Archer's like, I don't know if I'm gonna do the surgery. And then Derek comes in and goes, well, it's not just one, it's eight, and I definitely cannot get them without rupturing them. So big fat bummer. And that's when the next scene is when Addison finds Derek and tells him that after the divorce, she put him in a tiny little box, and now she needs him to come out of the box and be a surgical god and save Archer, and then just leaves.
That's a really good scene. Really great dialogue. Cool dialogue.
I like it. It makes sense. I like it for their characters. It makes sense for how they've also like been able to like maintain a relationship and how they were able to work together still for like a full year after the divorce or a full God. I don't know. Week. Who knows how long it actually was in Gray's time.
2 hours, maybe three tops.
20 minutes. Okay. So then we have the scene where Sam is at the nurse's station asking for Archer and Miranda hears and goes over and is like, I'm sorry, who are you? Like, I can help. Which one are you? Are you like this and this and this? And then he's like, yeah, I'm the ex of Naomi. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just didn't think that the ex-husband would show up at the ex-wife's new boyfriend's bedside while he's fighting worms in his brain. He's like, yeah, I don't know why funny. I'm here either.
And he's wearing a hat.
He can
which like
off.
he looks good, but like, why wear the hat?
It's the 2000s, man.
I do. It's true. I do forget that.
You were wearing hats.
Oh, I wore hats. I'm still wearing hats. I got my fedoras for days still.
I know. I don't love it.
Well, you're allowed to be wrong.
The baseball hats look great.
Thank
you. The fedoras, I have different thoughts on.
It's been a while since I've worn a fedora, though.
I know. It's been a long time since you've worn a fedora.
Yeah. Still got them. My Peter Grimm fedora. My straw fedoras. The thing that I wish Sam would have done is bring Sonya with him. Any chance just to look at her, I think is fine.
Okay. And so then we get the delightful scene where Addison's in the chapel and like everyone's whispering about her, but she can hear them. And they're like, what's she doing? And she's like, they're like, she's praying. And they're like, no, that's not possible. She's not.
Addison doesn't pray.
Absolutely not praying. And she's like, I want to be praying, but I don't know how to pray because I'm a wasp and we only went to church on Christmas. And so then Callie's like, I got this, guys. Which, talk about a dynamic that I missed. Addison and Callie.
Love it. Missed it.
I love them so much.
I need a spinoff of Private Practice where it's just, it's like Private Practice after hours. And it's just her and Callie getting drinks. Violet can come too. And Naomi. Yeah. And Sonya.
And Arizona.
Oh, yeah. The thing that I love about that scene, the irony is that Callie is praying about the lesbian part. She's
why is
like,
that ironic? God doesn't care.
I want you to know that there are beliefs within some people who I do not identify with that really talk about how God hates the gays.
They do. That's talk about why it a lot.
It's ironic.
There's no evidence to support it.
I know that. As someone who goes to church every Sunday, I know that.
I have read lengthy papers about the mistranslation of specific words in the Bible that did not come about until the late 80s.
All I'm saying is we can all take a page. That way in
any other language.
We could take a page out of Jackie Moon's library and just ELE, guys. Everybody love everybody. It's very simple.
It's so true. So Callie is talking to God and she's like, I'm confused. I need help. I don't know what to do. I kiss this peed surgeon. And Addison's like, you kissed a peed surgeon? This is like, this little prayer is how Callie is like, let me just update Addison on my life. So she's like, I kissed a peed surgeon but it's not like the kind of person that I normally date because she's perky and she rollerblades and she wears butterflies and all this stuff. And she's like, help me get over the butterflies or whatever. So.
Wasn't it a penguin tattoo? I thought what? She says, am I totally hallucinating on this?
You are on a drug. Don't know which one.
Narcan.
Narcan is the thing that helps you come back from the overdose.
Keep talking.
Okay. Narcan is very helpful.
I'm going to get some people. Narcan. George was in Narcan.
You can actually carry it now. They have it and they recommend it because if you like, there's accidental potential overdoses in so many different things. So you can just carry Narcan on you and just pop it in. Anyways. So yeah, I don't know what you're talking about with penguin tattoo. I really don't know what you're talking about.
I think that it's what you said at the end. It's like, just God help me get over the butterflies because you're really hot or something like that. I'm just remembering whatever it was that she said at the end. It's God, let me get over that.
Let me get over the butterflies.
The butterflies.
I never thought I'd end up with a woman, God. I mean, not until lately, but that's not the problem. The problem is the Pete's thing. She's perky and has butterflies on her scrub cap, but she's also hot, really hot. So help me get over the butterflies. Amen.
That's what it was. I don't know where I got a penguin tattoo from.
I would love to know. I simply don't. Anyways, so, what a journey that was for us.
That was fun.
I also love in that moment when Addison's like, I need to pray, but I don't have any clout with God. He doesn't know who I am. And Callie's like, you save babies. Like, God knows who you are. I just love them together. So cute.
Yeah, it's so true, though. Saving lives. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Then we get like a really good scene with Derek and Sam, where Sam comes in and they talk and they're like, oh, you know, I should have called, you know, like we should have stayed in touch better. And it's like a nice moment, I think, of just like things happen, you know, like it's real life. Things change, you know, Sam and Naomi have this daughter and, you know, they're going through something. They don't live there anymore. And Derek and Addison are on the other side of the country and they're in just different places, different seasons of life in a way. And things just happen, I guess. So they have a moment where they're just like, it is what it is. You know, we still care about each other. We just did a bad job. And then they move on to Archer and Derek's like, there's just no way I can do it. Like if it was just one, I could do it. And Sam's like, well, how would you get just this one? If it was just this one. So he goes through one by one and he's like, just walk me through how you would do it if none of the other ones were there. And that obviously inspires him to be like, oh, I'll just do it that way. Which why you just do it that way to begin with. I don't understand.
I also don't understand. So these little cysts, they're just sacks for the worm. They're just worm sacks. Right? Yeah. Why call them a cyst? Why don't they just call them worm sacks?
Because it's a cyst, and inside the cyst is a worm.
Sack.
Does that change the plot of the episode for you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so what's the issue.
When I think of a cyst, I think of like a cancer. A worm isn't a cancer. A worm is a worm.
Okay.
It's okay. It's all right. Let's talk about the scene where Derek goats the fuck out of Archer.
Yeah, he's basically like, oh, you're a weenie. They argue about
you throw
surgery.
Ball like a girl.
Yeah, and if it's possible, and Derek's like, you're a coward, all you do is send people my way, and then like, because he's a neurologist, not a neurosurgeon, so he's like diagnoses the problem, and then he's like, go see this other person to take care of it. Here, I'll tell you the problem, but I won't give you the solution. So Derek's like, oh, you're just a coward, you hide behind a blah blah blah, you just send your patients to me to fix all the time, blah blah blah, and then bullies him into having surgery. As is pretty much the norm on this show, honestly.
Yeah, bully people until the right thing gets done ultimately. But he has a good plan. He talks about, he's like, I'm just going to try to control the rupture if I can.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna have it, I'm gonna send the rupture where I want it to go.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Smart.
Yeah. And then at the scene, like, they're waiting for him to start the surgery. That's where we get the Sam Bailey Mark scene, which my favorite part of that scene is when she snaps at him and he goes, you're going to want to keep that temper in check around the kids. So funny.
Yeah, that's a funny scene. And then where it's like, I got to be distracted. Someone talk. Mark, you're good at talking about yourself. And he's like, oh, I have a surgery that could be a game changer. Other than that, though, I'm good. It's just, he's so funny.
I also love when Addison's like, say it, say it, say it. And Derek says, it's a beautiful day to save lives.
He said it, and I noticed it.
He did say it. So that's, yeah, they trying to, it's going really well. And then he gets 7 of them, and then the last one bursts, the worm gets free. First of all, this is wild to me. I don't know how medically accurate it is. Literally the second that worm is in his brain, he flatlines.
Yeah.
Which, like, what is that worm doing?
It's
is it an
radioactive
eel? Is it an electric
worm?
Shock worm?
we also just talk about how the graphic on the screen of those worms rivals the woman's throat who was made with a steak.
It was better than that.
It was better.
Like worms.
They actually look like little wormies.
Worm guys.
I think in the little tube that they pull out, I think those are actual worms.
Parasites, yes.
Yes. Worm sacks.
Anyways, so they're like, they want to shock Archer, and they're like, he's like, no, I'm inside of his brain, and if I have to stop, then I'll lose this worm. So he follows the worm. He's like, I have to do it in under 3 minutes for him to basically potentially not lose like brain function. And so he finds it at like 2.5 minutes and like sucks it out. And then like he, as soon as he gets it out, he just like, his heart is beating normal again. Like this worm is magical. But
I don't understand the physics of this worm either. It didn't make sense.
I don't
sense
know
to
shit
me.
About this worm, but like, it's not anything I ever want to deal with. That's for sure.
Medical textbooks have not yet figured out all the symptoms of this worm.
Yeah. So then the next thing we get is like, well, the Mark and Lexi, and then Mark telling Addison that Derek's going to propose, and then all of them at the bar. And they sing the song, and it is pure artistry.
It's pretty terrible.
Addison Montgomery, he met her in the summer. She was doing something at medical school. I don't remember all the words.
All I remember is Addison's fine ass.
I love at the very end when Sam gets his voice really deep. He's like, as dead as that body.
It's cute because they're all singing terribly. Mm-hmm. But the lines are funny. The lines are very funny.
Yeah, and they're all kind of like, they say it, they're like, oh, in my eyes, I saw her. In her eyes, I saw my life. I knew one day she'd be my wife. and something like until eternity or until as I was, or, and then they all kind of stop and they're like, ooh, now we're all,
and like divorced. Derek is visibly becoming more and more like, okay guys, like reel it in.
Well, and so are Sam and Naomi and also Mark, because he's like the reason they got divorced, low-key, not all the way, but like a pretty big contributing factor.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, ooh, we all made vows and none of them were upheld. And then it's awkward. And then that's when Sam comes in and he's like, let me just round this out with the
big finish.
So, and then it's a touch awkward. And then Jen can't breathe. And that's the end of it. That's the cliffhanger. Yeah. So,
first crossover. This is Avengers. This is the first Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. So let's, do you want to rate it as these two episodes together?
We'll just rate this one as Grace because we didn't really talk about Private Practice that much.
Cool. You go first.
I'm going to say it's a 4. It's a fellow. It's a fellow. It's a 4. You know,
I'm right there.
It's good.
Exactly.
Clearly
exactly
setting things up. Love watching all these people together. Love seeing Addison come back. Love seeing Sam and Naomi interact with our Grays people. Something we don't get to see very often. Archer has worms in his brain. How fun is that? Owen's got, you know, crazy bombs dropping left and right as far as his like private life is coming to light for Christina. It's just crazy. Crazy beans over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Big fan of the storyline. I think the only thing that really sets this episode as not like a higher score is all of this is happening for Archer and I don't like Archer.
Yeah.
It's all for an unlikable character, which is fine. Not unlikable. Clearly Naomi.
No. He's unlikable.
I don't like
it. It's hard to understand why Naomi likes him.
He's the fun time guy, you know? So yeah.
That doesn't make someone likable.
No.
That's the way that you can say fuck boy on network television.
Yeah. So what would you like me to predict?
Go ahead and predict something with Izzy.
She's not making it past to season 6. She dies season 5.
Okay. And
Denny calls her home. Like the Grim Reaper that he was.
Something about... Oh, so we still... What about the Derek Meredith proposal?
I don't remember what any of my last predictions were, but it's going to happen in this crossover.
I think the last thing that I remember is you said that Derek's going to ask and Meredith's going to say no.
Yeah, it's going to happen in this crossover. He's going to propose. She's going to say no.
Okay, Mark and Lexi, you said he's gonna tell by the end of the crossover. You said Beth.
There's three Grays and three Private Practices, so 6 total episodes of the span's over, right?
No, I feel like there's the last two, they like kind of count like 14. No, they count 15.
Because here, somewhere in the middle, in one of the middle crossovers, it's not going to be the bookend. It's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to slip that Mark and Lexi are having sex in like this relationship.
Okay.
And then there will be a big blow over in the end of the episode that leads to Derek proposing.
Okay. So this episode that we just finished, the next episode of Private Practice was the episode that aired right after this. So there's like... I think that the episode of Private Practice, episode 15, is really the first episode of the crossover, in my opinion. And then there's this one and the following Private Practice. And then I think the next episode of Grays is the wrap-up.
Oh.
I think. I could be remembering it. It doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. But yes.
Yeah.
By the end of the crossover event is a fine prediction.
Yeah.
Owen and Christina.
They're good. I need to watch more to figure out what is going to happen, but they're good for now. Hunt is just kind of an enigma at this point.
Yeah.
The way he's just very interesting.
Yeah. And then also you said Beth's dad was going to die, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's dead.
And then you said Jin and Rob are both going to die.
And the baby. Yep.
And the baby. And then Archer. What do you think? Is Archer going to live or die?
Archer's going to live. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything with Sam and Naomi and Mark and any of that?
Naomi and Mark are going to have sex. Sam and Addison are going to have sex. And Lexi's going to find out about all of it.
Delightful. Okay.
Actually,
well, I think
everyone's
just
going to end up in a gigantic orgy over at Joe's bar.
There it is. It's a threesome. Double down.
Triple down.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. Sorry for the different setup this episode, but hope you figured it out and liked it all. You can follow us on Instagram. That's where, like, thank you for waiting for the delay. I did put an announcement on the Instagram, so if you don't follow us on Instagram, you can follow us there. That's where I'll post like any schedule changes. So that's Grey's Academy Pod. You can email me greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can message me on Instagram. We can talk spoilers if you want. Carmen doesn't see that. You can follow us on our individual Instagrams and talk to us there. You can find our Patreon at the link tree in our bio and listen to us bullshit. And then we're also going to be working on getting our private practices up on that soon, now that we've gotten to this point and it's safe to pump the brakes a little bit and like actually breathe. But if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember
that it is a beautiful day for a podcast, specifically Grey's Academy. And no spoilies. We will see you all in the next one.